Jason is Bull and the 400 Unit.
Girl, leave your boots by the bed, leaving his room.
May 9th, The Factory in Deep Ellum.
Did you ever love a woman with a death?
Special guest, Amethyst Kia.
What have I done to hell?
Jason is Bull and the 400 Unit. On sale now at AXS.com. Produced by AEG Presents. Weather Vanes, out June 9th.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
The Self Signal Storm Podcast.
Polls show that a vast majority of all Texans, regardless of whether they're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Conservative, Liberal, they favor school choice. I think many parents, the revelations from the China virus pandemic of what was going on inside of GovEd, a lot of parents said, oh, no. This is not good. I'm not paying to have my child indoctrinated rather than educated. And what are they being indoctrinated into? Well, the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG cultural Marxism, the hate whitey program, this gender confusion nonsense. Now, folks, there are certain types of politicians. There is one politician that believes, hey, my job is to get up to whatever government that I'm elected to, and I am there to reflect the will of the people who sent me, the majority of the people who sent me. There are others who say, well, you know what? I think the people that elected me are stupid. They're dumbasses. And I was able to con them. So I'm going to get up there and do whatever the hell I want. And that's the latter is the type of politician I want to direct you to. This is the Texan.news. The Texan.news. Texas House approves budget amendment to ban government funding for school choice programs, taxpayer funding for school choice programs. Nearly two-thirds of the Texas House voted for the amendment. So, folks, an overwhelming majority, it's almost two-thirds of citizens want school choice. Two-thirds of their legislature voted against it. They voted against it because they serve themselves, you see, not you. By a vote of 86 to 52, with 11 voting present, cowards voting present, the Texas House approved a proposed budget amendment to prohibit the use of state dollars for a voucher or education savings account program, a test vote on the school choice legislation fight that is to come. So-called Representative Abel Herrero, a Democrat socialist from Robstown, filed the amendment, which was signed on to by six members, a lot of them Republicans, so-called Republicans. Republican betrayer, Charlie Guerin, Republican from Fort Worth. By the way, I'm being told that Charlie Guerin is doing this because what he really wants is to bring gambling to the state of Texas. So he may cave and change his vote on this if the other Republicans will go along with him and bring gambling to Texas. So here he is pushing a not so laudable goal to hold hostage something that is laudable, putting parents in charge. That's the kind of so-called man Charlie Guerin is. Ana Hernandez, a Democrat from Houston. Armando Wally, Democrat, Houston. Ernest Bales, a Republican from Shepherd, Texas. Glenn Rogers, a Republican from Grayford. And Stan Lambert, a so-called Republican from Abilene. They voted for this amendment and then got it onto the floor where they went ahead and passed this, prohibiting school choice, prohibiting any funding. Your money must go to GovEd, to LGBTQ, ABCDEFG cultural Marxism, to the hate whitey program, to the gender confusion, because Charlie Guerin likes your kids to be taught that kind of crap. And by the way, don't bother him with policing, making sure that the prohibition on critical race theory and all this nonsense is up to snuff, because he's not going to bother. You know, he's not going to protect your children. Don't bother him with that. He's just going to, you know, make sure that they're subjected to the worst, most vile, disgusting left-wing anti-Americanism that's possible. I'm looking on Twitter right now. This is kind of sick. You know that Twitter is a sewer, but this is where all the lefties go. So I retweeted this because I think it shows exactly what Charlie Guerin supports. A student confronted and punched a teacher at Lamar High School in the Houston area in Texas. The teacher took his phone because he wasn't supposed to have his phone in classes. So this thug went ahead and decked the teacher. And this is the kind of equity that Charlie Guerin wants to make sure your children get exposed to on a daily basis inside of GovEd. And he wants to make sure if you want to get your kids out of this hellhole that GovEd has descended into, he's going to make sure he robs and steals your ability to do so. And he's using your taxpayer money to do it. Even though the vast majority of Texans believe the right thing to do is for Texas to join the ranks of the civilized states in our union, the majority of our states do have some form of school choice where your taxpayer dollars are dedicated to your ability to determine how to best educate your child. Nope. Charlie Guerin, in typical knuckle-dragging Neanderthal fashion, wants to keep Texas in the company of the other knuckle-dragging states in our union that deny parents school choice. Folks, I believe the Republicans that were on the list that I named, they have earned primary challengers. We'll do all we can to make sure that happens. We talk about big concerns that every parent should have about GovEd coming up next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to TexasScorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
All right, folks, let's get to our guest, Erin Anderson, senior journalist for the Texas Scorecard. She's based in Dallas-Fort Worth, but reports on local and state issues across the great state of Texas. Miss Anderson, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Always good to talk with you.
Now, you have been reporting on something that I seem to recall, and I'm not sure if this was you that did this a few years back. There were, I think, 107,000 individuals in Texas GovEd that were pulling in over six-figure salaries. And I'm not sure if that was your enterprising reporting or somebody else's, but you have recently been reporting on the salaries of superintendents, and I'm dying to know what you found.
Yes. Well, I did not compile that data on all the salaries for all the administrators, but we've certainly been watching the top spots. The top administrators in Texas schools are the superintendents. There's one in each district. And for quite some time, they have been receiving what I would call some super salaries, very supersized compared to, of course, to other, you know, to teachers and the people in the classroom. And compared to people, you know, what I would call regular working people who are paying the taxes that pay these people's salaries.
Well, I'm sure you've listed them in categories that will be of interest, but I mean, let's start with the top 10 salaries. Who are they and where they are, or where are they?
Well, the very top, top highest paid Texas school superintendent, it has at least been for the last, couple of years, is in Cypress Fairbanks, which is in the Houston area, for those not familiar. So it's a pretty good sized district, you know, outside the borders of the disastrous HISD in Houston. So they've been paying their superintendent more than $500,000 for at least the past few years. These numbers have been inching up.
Hold on. You're saying in excess of $500,000 for a superintendent?
Yes. And that's just the top guy. Remember, all of these superintendents in these larger districts have a large administrative staff of, you know, assistant superintendents and associate superintendents and a whole, call a cabinet of various, six-figure administrators, you know, separate from just the principals that are at each specific campus. So, yeah, we've got some pretty high-paid top administrators here in the top, yes, more than $500,000.
Who's running?
The taxpayers of Cypress Fairbanks ISD are forking over for Mark Henry, superintendent.
So the guy who's making this coin is a guy by the name of John Henry, right? If memory serves, out there in Cypress Fairbanks. I'm trying to get the article up.
Yeah, it's John Mark Henry. Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, he's now at like $521,000. And you'd have to look at the specific contract. I don't have his right in front of me. But by and large, you will see it varies from district to district, that it's in addition to this very large salary, there are a wide variety of benefits. Now, the consistent one, of course, is insurance and payments into the retirement system, which may sound, oh, it's a standard thing, in other businesses, but we're talking, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on top of this salary that we're looking at. And then they get various types of benefits that, you know, maybe a phone allowance and a car allowance, a housing allowance. And you'd think a guy making $521,000, you know, wouldn't need, you know, a phone allowance or things like that. But they get them as a standard perk. And, you know, they're negotiating with the elected school board officials there in each district. So, you know, say what you want about these superintendents. If they're able to, you know, sucker these trustees into forking it over, and, you know, the it's not like the taxpayers get to vote individually on these superintendent salaries, mm-hmm. right? They select these trustees.
Right.
And I think a lot of people don't realize the deals that they're negotiating for these, you know, highly touted superintendents, which, you know, you might imagine. And people always say, well, it's a big district, or, well, it's a high performing district. But if you look at the chart, which, you know, I just clipped out the top. I think it's about the top 25 for,
right,
you know, for visual interest in the article that I just published recently on this latest round of salaries. You can see, because the number of students is right there.
Well, look at the next one down in Chambers County. This is Barbers Hill ISD. They have 7,339 students. As compared,
right,
that's the next one down. This superintendent's mm-hmm. pulling down $466,062 a year for a fraction of the number of students. I mean, that's just criminal.
So yeah, you think that, and then you go down. I mean, you just go down to number three. Here we're talking. You know, we're back to a larger size district, 36,000. It's not the 118,000. You know, Cy Fair has. So you think, well, you know, this guy, De La Torre, he must be running a really great district, right? This is out in El Paso County. It's like, this must be a super high performing district, right? If they're paying
right.
him, you know, $442,000. But, you know, you would be wrong to make that assumption. Because, you know, we've got, you know, about half the students, you know, read and write at grade level. You know, which means the other half don't. You know, they like to, that's how the TEA likes to, the Texas Education Agency, for those that don't know, like to score things. Now that, you have to go to a separate website to look at your district's academic performances. I linked them both right at the bottom of the article, so mm-hmm. it's super easy for people to check their own district you know, look at their superintendent, look at their performance and see how well they think that tracks. But what I will tell you is if you compare many of them, you will see there's not, it doesn't align. So no. It's not like, oh, the best performers are getting the most salary or, oh, the big districts are getting the highest salary. It's kind of untethered to those things that we might as taxpayers think is how they're deciding what to pay these top administrators.
And I think your broader point on that, it's taxpayers who are not pulling down six figures, who are cumulatively paying these exorbitant salaries. And then these very same people inside of GovEd say, we don't know why we need to increase taxes because we can't get enough resources into the classroom. And while these people are pulling down six figures, you go down the list of the top 25 you pulled in. And this one, Fort Worth ISD in Tarrant County, they just recently changed their superintendent. There was a guy in there by the name of Kent Scribner who was incredibly controversial, believed in allowing girls and boys to shower together. I mean, real pervert, real piece of work. The new one, Angelica Maria Ramsey, making $337,414 a year in a district that is, a C minus academically performing, last I saw. But again, that's the lowest one in your top, 25? And to me, the reason why this is such a problem is that we've got to pay for all of this. And as you rightly point out, it doesn't translate into better grades or better academics. It doesn't even translate into better administration or good policy. It's just whatever these people can negotiate. And your broader point of when they negotiate these Cadillac deals, it's the taxpayers who pay, not these board members, correct?
Right. That's correct. And while they will try to tout, maybe some sort of experience or other benefit from the people that they're hiring in secret, by the way, they don't tell you until they pull out their quote loan finalist that they've pre-selected for you to approve. So they make it like you're getting this great, here's all these benefits, but they don't talk about the contract. In fact, some of them are kind of hiding the contracts. There's stories I could tell about these other contracts that are, the parents are still trying to see you were paying how much. Mm-hmm. But that's always afterwards. And then this one really stuck with me, Chris. It's from a few years back, a superintendent that's no longer there, but it was Grand Prairie ISD.
I remember.
In the North Texas area.
I remember.
This gal was something else. Yeah. Because they had a lot of scandals. Not only are you not getting a great administrator, you're getting one that's got financial scandals happening on their watch. And so it all kind of came out when she was being investigated for spending district money on remodeling a house that the district had provided for her on top of her over $400,000 salary.
Folks, you've got to know about that. This house was, it said on 5 acres, right? Am I remembering this correctly, Aaron? It was a 5-acre ranch.
Yeah, so they were eventually going to convert it to something else, but in the meantime, they were letting her live in it. And it was quite, I thought it was certainly quite luxurious by Grand Prairie standards, where at the time, I think the median income was around $30,000.
Right. She got it renovated. It had a pool. Yeah. I think it was a 4-bedroom ranch style home on 5 acres. The district, as part of this woman's contract, plus her six-figure salary, which memory serves was over $300,000.
She got over $400,000. She was the number two highest paid in the state at that time.
Yeah, yeah. And so they were renting her this house for like $1,000 a month, which was nowhere near market value. And her derelict husband was taking his automobiles to the school district's auto shop in high school to get his car worked on for free.
Amazing. And then, so she wanted to get even some remodeling done on this house. So she broke up the order so it was under the $50,000 amount that requires board approval.
Oh, no.
And sneaking in these receipts for this stuff that would not have gotten approved, right? And so there was a big investigation, and people started looking, and they're like, you're making how much? And then you want the district to pay for what?
Uh-huh.
To remodel? You put granite countertops in the house that they're providing for you? And I talk about a padded contract. So she had escalating annual bonuses. By year five, her bonus on top of her salary was $150,000. I'm not kidding.
Good grief. And you know what?
Yeah.
Folks, let me just assure you, I know Grand Prairie. I used to live in Grand Prairie. Grand Prairie schools were not lighting the state on fire with their academic achievement. Let me just say that. They weren't the worst, but they certainly were not the best and certainly didn't warrant paying their superintendent over $400K plus a ranch-style home and all the perks that went along with this. Folks, we're talking to Aaron Anderson, senior reporter for the Texas Scorecard. Aaron, the reaction to your article has been quite severe as parents and taxpayers are understandably livid with what these school boards are doing with our taxpayer dollars. Can you give some of the reaction that you've been hearing about?
Well, I will say, Chris, since we started reporting on this, I've been with Scorecard about 6 years now. And again, that Grand Prairie story was really the one that it sunk in for me, because you know what the board president, who I think he's still the board president there, he said in response to people's critique at the time of this outsized salary, he said, "She's worth every penny we pay her and more." That's how out of touch these school some of these school board members are. But you know, the taxpayers, every year they're shocked. So again, this is sort of a perennial, you know, the shocker that comes out. Let's see how they're doing now. So we've gone from 60 superintendents that are making 300,000 plus to now 77 that are making 300,000 plus. And the parents, there's always people that are you know, they didn't know, they're shocked to discover that this is the scale of things. And again, when they try to say, well, surely it must be because they're doing such a great job, and I have to say, well, you know, would that were so, but it's not. And then of course you have teachers where the rubber hits the road in education, right? In the classroom, everybody seems to agree on that, but they don't seem to agree on you know, why the administrators are making, you know, multiples of what what's being spent on admin versus teaching. So yeah, the response is always just sort of amazement. And you know, while we're happen to be having at the same time a pretty heated conversation this legislative session about school choice and those kind of issues, these are the kind of things that fuel citizens' desire for a different system, right? Yeah.
Well, the system is a failure. I think that the jury is back in, and the conclusion is the government-run education system is an absolute unmitigated failure. This idea that we need to spend more, that we need to get taxed more to accommodate this irresponsible largesse. I mean, we haven't even talked about curriculum, about the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG cultural Marxism. We haven't talked about critical race theory, the Hate Whitey program. We haven't talked about the agenda of gender confusion being implemented inside of these schools. The mere fact that these people are basically fleecing the taxpayers of Texas, and they're insatiable. They get these Cadillac deals, $500,000 for a superintendent, and they want more. And then they have the gall to say to the taxpayers, we're not doing our fair share because we don't have enough to go to the classroom and to teach kids. I mean, that is the indignity, Aaron, of all of this. And that brings me to the architects and the pushers of the status quo, those who say to all these parents, hey, screw you. I don't care. I don't care how much of your money that we waste. We're not going to police it, and we're going to still force you to pay for it. And I'm thinking of a guy by the name of Charlie Guerin, who is now openly colluding with socialists in the Texas legislature to deny parents school choice. And he dares to call himself a Republican. Don't Republicans run the risk of losing their majority if guys like Charlie Guerin are allowed to carry the day?
Well, I guess we're about to find out, Chris. Although, you know, Charlie Guerin has been in the state legislature for, 22 years?
Yeah, I think he laid the first brick, to be honest with you. I think he was the first guy laying the first brick when the damn Capitol was constructed. I think Charlie Guerin was there actually doing that before the Capitol was even made. He's been around way too flipping long. But go ahead,
continue. He's been in there pretty long, but, you know, and he's from the... the Fort Worth area. He's, you know, what I kind of call the Chamber of Commerce Republican, which kind of, yeah, because again, they're business interests, and they're like, well, it's conservative and Republican to care about business. But what they mean is sort of more of a crony type business of helping our friends, to do well, rather than keeping a free market look.
Well, yeah, screwing our children in the process. And to all of you left wingers who might be hearing this podcast, that was a figurative screwing of our kids. all of you folks out there who are excited about the over sexualization of our children, that's going to be on a different podcast. So slow your roll. I didn't mean to get Charlie Guerin's staff excited or Charlie Guerin excited, but look. The idea that we're leaving our kids behind so that Guerin can pad constituents' pockets or be a quote unquote good business Republican, frankly, it's disgusting. And
people need to understand what a profitable business, you know, education is as well. You know, parents look at it as teaching their children, but for all the complaints about how education is underfunded, there's a ton of money in public education. That's why we see so much public corruption in public education, because it's scads of money that's often not very accountable. Get out of the classroom side and look at the construction side of it. This is where a lot of your shenanigans go on. But yeah, mm-hmm. It's big business. And yep. So a lot of lawmakers treat it at the way they do other businesses, rather than, you know, as this, you know, a completely separate type of, you know, commitment to, you know, children and education and preparing them for the future. It's just more business,
right? And you know what? It's leaving a generation of children behind. And I have yet to hear one Republican or for a Democrat that matter tell me why parents don't deserve the right to guide where the money dedicated to their child goes. I have not heard them say one compelling reason. Now, I know what they say behind closed doors. I know, Aaron, I know what the Charlie Guerins of the world say behind closed doors. He thinks that Texas parents are stupid. He says, yeah, this is the trite thing they say. They're just going to go out and buy a stereo, or they're going to go out and buy whatever, beer or something with their child's education money, which of course is absurd. There are safeguards in school choice measures to make sure that doesn't happen. But this is the level of contempt that the universally, with the exception of a guy by the name of Harold Dutton, who on the Democrat side, and far too many Republicans, the contempt they have for the taxpayers and the voters of Texas. Let me ask you, in all your reporting and all of your discussion with just, you know, the folks, don't the majority of Texans believe that has to change?
They think something has to change. This is the status quo is no longer acceptable. But my perception is that we are going to get, you know, much less of a change than, you know, what people were anticipating. I'd rather take the chance on a bold move than try to just have more of the same, because the same is not working. The people are completely dissatisfied. Even the people that are like, we would be happy to stay in public schools if they weren't awful. You know, people that say, look, yes, we would like to be able to take the funds to something that works better for us, because the same thing doesn't work for every student. And yeah, the parents want to be, they are the adults here. They can make these choices. why lawmakers think they have to send all the dollars to them and they'll decide. And that's what it comes down to, right? Control. Nobody wants to lose control of the almighty dollar. The parents just want to have, you know, want their kids educated. And they don't really want to have to delve into the, you know, all the nuts and bolts and this and that. But there's like, there's a ton of money. You got parents dissatisfied. You've got schools that are just, you know, many of them just scandalously underperforming. It's ridiculous to me that people can't, you know, figure out some common sense ways to make this work better for everyone involved.
Well, I, you know what, in my view, as we started out this conversation about the GovEd system in Texas and the GovEd system in general, the worst mistake this nation ever made was allowing government to educate our children. And frankly, as a conservative, I'm tired of funding failure. And I think the taxpayers are tired of funding failure. And that's what this compensation structure for these superintendents represents. I'm so happy for these superintendents that they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars and not delivering for the education of our children and doing their jobs. You know, good for them that they can con enough school board members. They can con enough of the Charlie Garrons of the world. And that's the bottom line. So I'm tired of funding failure.
Well, and it's failure turns out to be quite expensive, you know, on the front end and the back end. I mean, not to mention the, you know, what it's going to cost down the road when our kids are graduating uneducated. But, you know, it's not like we're getting a bad system because we're cheaping out. Although some try to say, oh, you're not funding enough. It's like if there's not enough dollars in education, then superintendents don't need to be making $500,000 and have a cabinet of, you know, dozens of assistants and associate and other administrators pulling down these huge salaries as well at taxpayer expense.
Good grief. Erin Anderson, folks, she's going to be following it. You want to give a bit of a preview on your next effort, or do you just want to keep it under wraps and we'll unveil it later?
Oh, gosh. Well, people who've been following me at TexasScorecard.com might have noticed that a little trend has emerged on talking about all these teachers that are getting busted for what is euphemistically called an inappropriate relationship with a student,
yes,
which is also known as a sex crime. It's a felony.
Yes.
So public service announcement for any teachers out there who don't know, it's a crime to have sex with your students. It's crime.
Yes. And you know, frankly, you'd think that
the moms are telling me. So the schools try to keep it under wraps because it doesn't look good, especially looks bad in the press when, say, you've got a bond coming up on the ballot you want people to vote for.
Uh-huh.
But the moms always know. And you know what? They are telling me. They're not, literally not a day goes by. I don't have a mom tipping me off to some pervert busted in her kid's school district.
And you know what?
Be advised.
And you know what I would look at too? Is because the only person, and they've corrected this in the Catholic Church, that the only entity that shuffles around pedophiles more than the Catholic Church used to is GovEd. There's a bit of a problem. Oh, so let's just send them to another district. We don't want to fire them or anything.
We finally got some past the trash laws, but now they need to be enforced. And that's what the moms are finding is that, there's a responsibility to be following up on this. But as always, it falls on the parents,
yep,
to be the watchdogs and to make sure these rules are being followed.
Somebody ought to knock on. Somebody ought to knock on Charlie Guerin's door saying, hey, yeah, great job passing this. Where's the enforcement mechanism? Oh, you didn't think of that. Well, they rarely think of that inside of the Texas legislature. Erin Anderson, everybody, senior journalist for the Texas Scorecard. She's based in DFW, but reports on everything here in the great state of Texas, all the issues that are important to we the people. Thanks, lady. Appreciate your efforts.
Thanks, Chris. Always great to talk to you.
And that's a wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor, kids, visit TexasScorecard.com. All the great enterprising journalism that is taking place is happening there in the great state of Texas. Those issues that impact Texas I guarantee you will impact the rest of the country. And maybe we might give you some insight on how to fight those issues and win so that the side of right, conservatism, and freedom and liberty prevails. Also visit, if you will, ChrisSalcedo.com, ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you go to find the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas. That is a show that is simulcast on TNT Radio all over the globe. TNT Radio Network is a global digital network. So check that out. Also check us out on Newsmax TV Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society is worth not measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.